All right, physical exam. Now, here's where we actually do something. The rest of it was just asking questions. So the very first thing is we're going to inspect. We're going to inspect the skin color, overall and local colors. So the overall color would be called complexion. So some common abnormal complexions. Pallor, meaning paleness. In a lighter skinned person, that will probably manifest as whiteness. In a darker skinned person, it will probably manifest as grayness. Erythema, redness, often a sign of vasodilation or inflammation. Yes, inflammation. Sunburn is an inflammation. Okay, so alcohol. Alcohol causes vasodilation, which is why people who are drunk will typically have a red face or red nose.
But how about when it's permanent?
Okay, permanent, that's, I forget the name of that offhand. No, rosacea is actually an infectious disease. Yeah, you can treat that with antibiotics. But when an alcoholic has that kind of red bulbous nose, that's a permanent change caused by the excess vasodilation over a long period of time. And there's a specific name for it, I just can't remember it offhand. Cyanosis. What is cyanosis? Okay, so bluish skin. It's usually a sign of lack of oxygen in that area of the skin, which is caused by either pulmonary diseases or being cold. More common in kids on the being cold part. Jaundice. What is jaundice? Yellowing of the skin caused by excess bilirubin. Now, there's actually another kind of yellowing of the skin that's caused by excess urea in the skin. That's called azotemia, and they call it uremic frost. If a person, ordinarily the kidneys are in charge of getting rid of urea. If you're having kidney failure, what can happen is you have such a buildup of urea in the blood that it begins to crystallize. And they'll have what they call a uremic frost, where you can actually scrape urea crystals off their skin. That's usually in renal failure. And because we have dialysis nowadays, you don't see it that often, unless they decide to take a person off dialysis and let them die. All right, and then the next thing you want to look at is skin temperature. Skin temperature is a very good indicator of blood flow. Blood flow and insulation. Here's a fun thing to do the next time you're in a cold environment. Go out into the cold, naked, for about 2 minutes, come back inside, and then feel where on your body is cold. What you'll find is that you're a lot colder right around in here than you are down here or like up here. And the reason for that is fat. Where you have more fat layer, which is typically around the hips, even on guys, or right around here for guys too, you're going to be colder there because the fat will be insulating the outside skin from the blood. So areas where you have less fat will be warmer because the blood comes back to those areas more quickly. All right. Physical exam continued. We're going to look at moisture content of the skin. One way you can do that is by checking what we call skin turgor. Well, that's the mobility down here. So what we want to do is you can do this on the back of a person's hand, on their arm, or on their over their sternum. Some sources say that really you should only do it over the sternum. Doing anywhere else just isn't sensitive enough. But what you do is you just pinch the skin upwards and let go. What should ordinarily happen? It should go back. Now, in a person who has very little moisture content. They're dehydrated. They may have a loss of turgor, and they'll have what they call tinting, where the skin will stay, like it'll look like a little tint. So that is a sign of dehydration. Now, it's not a very early sign. So by the time a person's gotten to that point, not a good sign. You aren't doing your job well. Unless they came into the emergency room, then it's just their fault for being stupid, for not coming in sooner. Texture, is their skin smooth? Is it scaly? When you shake hands, does their hand feel like a rock? Because they work in with cement. I'm not talking about strength here. I'm talking about the skin quality itself. Yeah. People who work with their hands tend to have calluses. If they work with chemicals, like say they work with cement or tile, the lime in those chemicals is going to change the quality of their hand, and it's going to be rougher. You know, you cannot get enough manicure to get rid of working cement hands. If you work with cement, you're going to have nasty hands. It's just the way it is. The thickness of the skin. Now, what's it called when skin is extra thick? Callus. Or in certain places on the foot, we call it a corn. What's it called when the skin is too thin? Atrophy of the skin. Edema, swelling, and then vascularity or bruising. All right, and then if there's any lesions, you want to look at what we call the ABCDEs. So, yes, ma'am.
Sorry, back to the bruising. What can you tell from bruising?
Okay, bruising. Well, if a person is bruised, what's the first thing you ask them? How'd you get it? If they say, well, I don't know, it just appeared. If they're spontaneously bruising, that can be a sign that they don't have enough protein because their skin is breaking down and they're not healing. It could be a sign they don't have enough clotting factors. Could be a sign they're having liver problems because liver produces clotting factors and the healing proteins. Or it could be a sign that they have bad memory. All right. It could be a sign of domestic violence and abuse. So you need to think about that too. All right. Lesions. If they have a lesion, you want to do what we call the ABCDE assessment. So A stands for asymmetry. Is it symmetrical or asymmetrical? B, does it have a well-defined border? Or does it kind of just blend into the surrounding tissue? C is the color. What is the color? And is it a solid color or does it change throughout the lesion? Is it lighter in some spots, darker in some spots? B is border. Is it a well-defined border or is it kind of just blend in? D is diameter. How big is it? Now, does anyone here have a regular old-time eraser? No? Well, imagine for a moment that you're holding a wooden pencil. Not the big fat one, just a regular one. Now, the size of that eraser top, that's the size. If it's bigger than that, that's concerning. If it's smaller than that, probably okay. In terms of cancer. So a lot of these things are looking at cancer. What's more likely to be cancer, a symmetrical or an asymmetrical lesion? Asymmetrical. What's more likely to be cancer, a well-defined border or one that blends in? One that blends in. What's more likely to be cancer, a solid color or a changing color? Changing color. What's more likely to be cancer, a big lesion or a small lesion? A big lesion. Then the last E actually stands for two things. So it's EE, ABCDEE. One E is elevation. How high is it off the skin? Is it flat? Is it raised? Is it sunken downwards? And then the next E is exudate. Is it bleeding? Is there pus? Is there serous fluid. All right, now in addition to the ABCDEEs, we also want to look at the shape and the configuration and distribution that the lesions make. If they have more than one lesion, those lesions may form a shape. So your book has some nice pictures of different shapes. So if the lesions are all in a line, we would call that linear. If they were in a circle, we would call that annular. If they're just all over the place, we would call that diffused. So those refer to the configuration. The shape is the shape of the individual lesion. Is it shaped like a teardrop? Is it shaped like a square? Is it shaped like a circle? Is it shaped like a kite? What's it shaped like? Configuration is the shape that multiple lesions make up together. Then the distribution is where on the body does it occur. Is it just on the hands? If it's on the hands, is it on the palm or is it on the back of the hand? Or is it on both? Is it traveling upwards? Is it located all over the body? Is it just on the trunk? Is it just on the face? Is it just on the back? That's the distribution. Some of these vocabulary words, probably be a good idea to know them for next week. Or Monday's quiz.
Size is the individual,
The size is really the same as diameter. It's just a redundancy. All right. Now, the next thing we want to look at is whether it's a primary or a secondary lesion. Now, primary lesions come from skin, normal skin. So you've got normal skin, and a lesion happens. That's called a primary lesion. Now, a secondary lesion happens from a change in a primary lesion. So let's imagine for a moment that you were bitten by a mosquito. It stuck its little snout into your arm, and it injected some of its saliva into your arm and sucked out some of your blood. Then it flew away. What's going to happen to your skin? Okay, you're going to get a little bump, and it's going to itch. Now, that would be a primary or secondary lesion?
Primary,
because your skin was normal. Now it's got this bump on it. Now, it itches, so what do you start doing? You scratch it. Next thing you know, it's blood salad, and you've got this horrible gaping crater because you were scratching it. Now, what's that, primary or secondary? Secondary. So your primary lesion changed and became a secondary lesion. You also want to look at what we call blanching. Now what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to take your finger, push it into your skin, and then let go real quickly. What happened to the skin underneath your finger when you pulled it away? It was slightly lighter in color, right? Because you had pushed out what? Blood. So the question is, does the lesion blanch? Can you push the blood out of it?